But I'm going to give you a chance to ask questions because y'all got to understand what I'm teaching you about this soul. But I'm going to hit two scriptures, and then I'm going to say some things that I'm going to try to flip you if I can. Get you where you're in a spot that you got to ask a question. At Matthew 16:26, it's talking about what it profits a man to gain the whole world. Is that what he talking about? And lose his soul. And what, then it said, what would a man give in exchange for his soul? Okay. The church has not known, especially in the Deep South, has not known the importance of the role of the soul. The importance of the role of the soul. Your thinking. How you think. How important that is to God. See, we have went all spirit. And so we went all spirit and we left our mind afloat. You remember what the Bible said, John 10:10 said, the enemy, a thief come not but to steal, kill, and destroy. He's stealing you in your thinking. You're so spiritual, but you won't think. And so the desire that the Father had about the soul, by revelation apostolically, he's bringing it back to the church, that the church can be a mighty moving force, and that we'll know how to stop sickness, disease, lack, divorce, family problem. When the world goes crazy, it doesn't bother us. We know who we are, and we know why the world going crazy, and we know how to stand our ground. We have emphasized a lot on faith, which is right, but faith without grace don't worth a quarter. You got to understand that. Faith without grace. You don't understand grace. You can try to operate in all the faith you want. You really won't get too far. On the other hand, grace without faith doesn't worth a quarter. All right. Now, we've come to this great grip of the fact, and then I'm really going to push this thing hard. We've come to the grip of the fact that, and I know it's shaking to some of us, that God has done everything he already going to do for us. And that grace is already done. And that our prayer and our faith is not making God do nothing. Our prayer and our faith is coming in agreement with what God already has done. So our prayer and our faith receive that which is rightfully ours. Well, y'all ain't talking to me, y'all. I know we want to think that our prayer moving God, but yet it caused God to move on what he already moved on. And the same way your faith. Now, every one of us who, God, dog, so much. Every one of us who don't understand our soul, we think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. See, your soul, rightfully understood, bring you into a grace period. In other words, if you're high-minded, you think that your faith and your prayer are getting everything done, and you never get in a position where you can get a real revelation that God wants you to have, and stop everything that is messing up in your life, your personal life. Get your body back straight with sickness and disease, your finances straight. All that's already been provided for you. But if you don't know your soul, if you don't know grace, and you don't know faith, and you don't know how to coordinate them, that's what the enemy is stealing from you. All right, are you listening to me?
Yes,
now, when you look at the scripture we're looking at in Matthew 16:26, don't it say on the end, what would a man give in exchange for his soul?
Yes.
All right, here's the dilemma. The Lord said to me, understand, tell my children to understand this. What I'm doing there is aiming to teach them what is the value of their soul. Write it down, the value. You have to know the value of your soul. You have to know what part your soul plays in the great theme of redemption. Now let's get this straight, class. I want you to go. Let's get this straight. The spirit, we're born again in our spirit, not our soul.
Right.
So we're not taking anything from the spirit.
Right, yeah.
So that's the first thing the enemy will try to tell you, I'm going to follow my spirit. Yeah, you follow your spirit, but yet you have to know how your soul functions.
Yes,
I counsel two things, a prayer meeting and a master vision meeting for this moment.
Yes, sir.
I did it in 3 minutes.
Yes, sir.
All right, so now, the value of your soul. What part your soul play? What part your mind play? What part your emotion play? That's feeling. What part your will play? What part your conscience play? Look in Romans 9:1, for instance. And then if you got any questions, I want you to get them together. Pastor, or whatever, or Brother Tom, however, what's happening here? It's a transformation. It's a revolution.
Yes, sir.
It's a revelation. Mm-hmm. It's a resurrection.
Right.
All right, you're about to awaken and resurrect your soul into its right place to help you defeat the enemy who, to a large extent, have been defeating you in some areas because you didn't know how to function properly.
Right.
Not your fault, it's the pulpit's fault.
Yes, sir.
It's Hosea 4:6, I think it is, Hosea 4:6, and Isaiah 5 and 13. Yeah, those two scriptures, just look at them. That's the problem. And this is the changes the Lord is making. And I didn't know I was going to be here this morning for this. So this is the change he's making. So now, what I told you, Tony?
Romans 9:1.
You see, that's your conscience there.
Yes, sir.
Your conscience, when you see the word conscience, it's talking about your soul.
Mm-hmm.
Your conscience have not been able to tell the whole truth. And your conscience, your soul, has not been able to bear witness with the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. When your soul can't bear witness with the Holy Ghost, God can't fully get through to you.
Right.
And so what we have done, we throwed our mind on the side, but we can't do that no more. Because that's where we're getting in trouble at. That's where Satan's fiery darts hit. That's where he get us to do things we don't want to do. That's where he get us to accept things we don't want to accept. That's where he get us to believe that our prayers and our faith and the word of God is not working. It's working all the time.
Yes, sir.
All right?
Yes,
sir. Now, if you have a question, I want you to raise your hand. I want to answer your question as best as I can by the Holy Ghost about this shifting. What you don't understand about it, you just raise your hand anytime, I'll get you. What you don't understand about it, I want y'all to have a full understanding of what's going on. Yes, sir.
I have a question concerning conscience. Years ago, we were taught that since man is a tri-type being, he had each part of his being had a voice, and the voice of your spirit was your conscience, the voice of your soul was reasoning, and the voice of your body was feeling. So now we're saying the conscience is actually a part of the soul,
yes,
as opposed to being a part,
yes,
of the spirit.
Exactly what we're saying.
Okay.
Exactly what we're saying. Because now most men won't put their conscience in the aspect of their soul. But I see how it functions now as I got further revelation. This is further revelation. I remember I taught you that. This is further revelation. And I see most men say it's your mind, your emotion, and your will. That's what they say consists of your soul. But the conscience got to be in there because it has no other way to function. And it's not your conscience is not born again. And so it's just I'm going to run over myself in a lot of things I'm teaching. I don't care. It's just when you're advancing, you know, a woman used to sew one kind of way. She knit one kind of way. And then all of a sudden, 5 years later, she found out that there's a better needle. And she, you know, and she can put a better seam. And she's stupid if she don't go to that better needle and just try to stay with her. So that's a good question, though. I know what you're doing. That's a good question. All right, now, let me show you something. In Romans, where I had you at? All right, let's go from there. Let's go to Romans 12:3. The Lord just showed me this. Romans 12:3 has grace, your conscience, and faith in the same verse. I read no book about this. I saw no man say this, but the Lord, the Holy Ghost, showed me this. You see, when he says you ought to think not more highly of yourself than you ought to think, that's in your soul. Notice he got it between grace and faith. On the end, he said, God have dealt to every man the measure of faith. On the beginning, I say to the grace given unto me. So what the Holy Spirit revealed to me here, and any question, I'm ready for it. What the Holy Spirit revealed to me here is that you can't properly operate in grace and faith without having a handle or understanding of how your soul functions. Why? Faith and grace, or grace and faith, gonna make you think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. And one of the things that the Lord really functioning is meekness and humbleness.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And he specializes in infirmities. And if you're thinking more highly than you ought to think, you're not going to function properly. This is not good. But you're not gonna function properly in your infirmity.
Right.
Then grace not gonna be able to help you.
Right.
Because you're gonna think you have something you don't have.
Right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Right. Yes, sir.
So now grace and mercy become a deficiency in your life. And you can't make them without them. Grace. We all need grace. We all need mercy. No matter how much word you know, no matter how long you prayed, we all need grace and need mercy.
Yes, sir.
Your infirmities are an invitation to grace and mercy. But if your mindset is ill and is not functioning as it should within the context of your soul, you're not going to admit that you need that type of help. So therefore, you invalidate the throne of grace. To come boldly to the throne of grace where you can find grace and mercy to help in a time of need. We all stay in that format. You never graduate from that format. You need grace and mercy in this life. You're always going to need it. Your infirmities or your weaknesses or your inadequacies are all there for a reason. They're for a reason that you will not become high-minded with scriptures and think you got it made and doing God a favor. God, you on the favor end. God is always doing you a favor, all right? So there is another scripture where it talks about in Luke 21, 19. You see, you have need of patience that you might, through patience you possess your soul. But the Amplified Bible says is how to win the real life of our soul. If you put that up, Romans 21. And some of these things, be steadfast and patient and do it shall win the true life of your soul. Look at that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You shall win the true life of your soul. So if you're talking about winning the true life of my soul, that means there's an aspect of my soul I don't have the truth about.
Right, sir.
See, it's always... Let me see again. The place where the horse drank,
right.
If you change it, he's not going to drink quickly.
Right.
He's going to come in and look, sniff around. And I know what happened here this morning. But you're going to have to drink.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Because this is going to break the production of Satan.
Uh-huh.
It's going to put you in a position where you can have a transformation or a revolution in your life that you'll be more active accurate with spiritual things. See, because I'm getting you ready because I'm really going to pour it on this morning. In this service, I have some things that the Lord showed me I'm going to pour it on. But I have to shake the religious bushes in order that you can come through. I think everybody in this room have something they need to work on. And there are things you've been working on for years and years, and you're good people. So it's not about sin, I mean, you're doing wrong. It's about something that further you need to know and need to understand and need to function in and need to permit the Holy Spirit to shift you.
Yes, sir.
You know, what advantage I got? What advantage me to come here with all this if God ain't telling me this?
Right, amen.
I mean, I'm doing good. Got a good church, good people, you know. But I know that God wants us to grow.
Yes.
And I know the winds of adversities in the spirit world or in the world itself, in the satanic forces, are blowing harder than it ever had blown before. And it's going to blow most churches in the ditch.
Wow.
Most ministers won't be able to handle it because you have to have revelation. You have to have resurrection power, dunamis power, functioning properly in your spirit, soul, and body. Now, there's a disconnection. The disconnection is what grace and faith can do if the spirit, soul, and body is not in agreement, it disconnects the power. The soul, there's no real manifestation unless the soul know how to connect with the spirit. The spirit has everything. The soul is in a process, but every sickness in your body, I'm going to talk, you know, you got to keep up with me.
Yes, sir.
Every sickness in your body came out of your soul. Satan don't go directly to your body. He go to your body with what permission the soul give it. You know, Romans 12, 2.
Yes, sir. Right.
It said, be you not conformed, but be you transformed by the renewed of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, right?
Right.
So it's three stages. See will, now see will, where will at? Will is in your soul.
Right.
So if you don't renew your mind, your soul not going to be renewed, and it's going to accept things normally by our height of revelation at the further we had gone thus far. So we accept something even though we believe we are annihilating it. We believe we're stopping it, but we're not stopping it because we don't know how to stop it. The rich farmer, you remember the rich farmer who crop did good? Watch what I'm about to tell you. You know what happened to him? You know what happened to him? He instructed his soul wrong. He read it. He said, soul,
right.
He talked. See, if you don't know how important your soul is, you're going to talk to it wrong.
Wow.
And when you talk to your soul wrong, each time you talk to your soul wrong, you're disconnecting a divine transaction.
Yes, sir.
Wow. God, let me have the next question. Yes.
Gave us about the true life of our soul.
Uh-huh.
So you're saying that unless we understand the true life of our soul or the state of our soul, then we cannot correct our soul. So you're saying our soul has a life, and in order to connect it to our spirit, then we must first understand the state that our soul is in. So I just went, when you said the true life of our soul,
You're preaching good, girl. You got it. You got exactly what I'm saying.
Okay.
True life. See, what I'm saying, the opposite of that is contrast or different. If you don't understand the true life of your soul, you have a false understanding of your soul. When you have a false understanding of your soul, Satan has a party. Now, grace and mercy have been taken care of us all this time. Grace and mercy have been taken care of us all the time. But when you know to do better, you need to do better. We always, as a pastor, as an apostle, as a shepherd of this church, I continually search the scripture because I know there's more. I see too many good people being offended. I mean, in their life, just offensive things that Satan is able to do. He shouldn't be able to do it. And so when I read that about the true life of the soul, because actually a long time, I just about left the soul out, to tell you the truth about the whole matter. I was, like we were talking about conscious, I was going with the conscious and the other aspect of my life. Now, I know grace and mercy was there, and God know I love him. And God have produced a lot of things in our lives. But we must never settle.
Amen.
Now, behaviors and waywardness and ungodliness and some things we do as a lodge is because of that also. The Holy Spirit, let me show you something else. Give me 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 in the Amplified Bible. That's talking about the gifts of the Spirit. Then I'll show you something about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Have something to do with your soul. Now, we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit, so Paul is trying to get the church ready to understand how the gift function and that there are gifts of the Spirit, but if the soul is not in place, it hinders the gift from functioning.
Yes, sir.
All right, here he says now. Now, there are distinctive varieties and distribution of endowments, gifts, extraordinary powers distinguishing certain Christians. Due to the power of divine grace operating in their souls by the Holy Spirit. Due to the power of divine grace operating in their souls by the Holy Spirit. And they varied, but the Holy Spirit remained. Now, the life of God is in your spirit.
Yes, sir.
The Holy Spirit is the teacher, the guide, the leader. He's part of the Godhead. When the Holy Spirit functions with your spirit, your soul has to be able to accept it.
You're right. That's right. Yes, sir.
And here he's talking about the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the discerning of spirit, all these supernatural manifestation and the application due to the power of divine grace operating in their soul. Back to Romans 12, 3 now. Why would he put the soul in the midst of grace and faith? Why would he put thinking in the midst of all this spiritual stuff? See, why would he put thinking in the midst? Romans 12, 3. Why would he put thinking in the midst of all this spiritual talk? Why did he just go and just say, don't think more highly of yourself? He said, no, he talked about grace. Then at the end he says, God has dealt every man the measure of faith. Thinking has to be a part of your soul. So as she said, well, all I want you to do is, we're not too much switching nothing, but we're adding on something.
Right.
That the Lord had in plan all the while. We come to so much religious stuff until, what about the baptism of the Holy Ghost? You remember how we used to fight that?
Yes, sir.
I remember Charles put a man out of his house. Get on out of here, this mess. Didn't know what it was. I didn't know what it was. I said, leave me alone, man. I got the spirit. And now you have to wrestle me and kill me for me not to pray in the spirit. So it's a form of growth. Now there are going to be oppositions. Religious spirit going to oppose it. But if you function in it, you're going to realize that God is calling you to a greater, higher dimension of blessing.
Oh, yes, sir. Glory to God.
Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Now, some of y'all been in church longer than me. I've been in 42 years. Some of y'all been in church longer than I have. But by the same token, revelation has to be birthed. It will make you stronger. It will, let's watch this next statement now. It will make you the owner of what is rightfully yours.
Hallelujah.
Satan always worked with deception. So what he wanted us to do is play our soul down, play our mind down. So what he did, he tried at one time to make us believe our soul and the spirit was the same thing. Look at Hebrews 4:12. Hebrews 4:12. The last part talks about the word. It's really talking about Jesus. Know that it's a discern of the intent and thought of the heart. He's a discern and intent of the thought of the soul. See. You have to, as a man thinketh in his heart, as a man thinketh in his soul, so is he. I feel tension in this room. Yes, sir. But it's you got a question again or something to say?
One of the recent messages you taught about
one of what?
One of the recent messages you taught concerning spirit, soul, and body. You see, they have to become as one man.
Yes, remember that.
Right. And in our spirit, we're taught and we understand that we're the
righteousness. You asked a question, or you gonna teach?
I'm gonna ask you a question, but
ask me the question. Go ahead. All right. Go ahead. You know how I am. Go ahead.
Yeah, I know you. Sorry. we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, spirit in our spirits.
Yes, sir.
So our soul has to come into agreement with that, or else it can't flow.
Can't get through.
Can't get through.
Right.
So if we are sin conscious, then it seems there's a blockage.
Yep. Exactly right.
Yeah.
You're right. So what you're saying, it's a blockage. And that's the very same thing I'm trying to get them to see. Revelation trying to come through And it can't get through because instead of your soul being renewed, it's rebelling. Because it's shocking to your soul because your soul going through a process. Nothing God says is shocking to your spirit. But if you don't train your soul with the word of God, when it get to your soul going to rebel, react, and everything else because it doesn't. So what he said, what I'm saying too, what he's saying now is the soul can stop manifestation. It's designed to bring manifestation through. But it's in a process, and you biblically, as a student in your church, you should know how to work with it. When you learn how to work with it, how to keep it renewed with the word of God, because if it's not renewed, it's going to rebel. Your mind going to rebel. Your emotion, your feeling going to rebel. A lot of Christians, their feeling is in charge of their walk with God. Because they haven't put that feeling in its rightful place by renewing their mind to give their feeling a divine exchange. See, it's all about a divine exchange here. And so revelation, manifestation, creation, demonstrations can't fully come through without a renewed mind. And Apostle Paul pressed on that mind a lot. Talk about have the mind of Christ. And we talk in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, talking about all the spiritual transactions. He says, who going to instruct God? He says, but we have the mind of Christ. Well, the mind of Christ is his word. And so as we relate, here's another frightening thing. Is this thing mental or spiritual? It's spiritual. You got a question? Would it be correct to say
that you're actually giving him what the scripture says, don't give him place, that you're actually giving Satan place through your soul?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You're actually giving Satan place through your soul.
Yeah.
He's
not coming through your flesh and through the outside sources.
You got it.
Coming through your soul.
And if you don't correct it, see, mercy has been a powerful thing with us. The Lord is aiming to shift us to another level. And as long as you let Satan access your soul, your faith is not going to be productive as it should be. He's holding us hostage in our soul. You follow what I'm saying? Now, what's the benefit here in this apostolic Sunday school? What's the benefit here? Start shifting. Start reading your Bible now. When you read your Bible now, when I read my Bible now, I see a whole lot more. I was looking for everything in the spirit with the exclusion of my soul, and God didn't design me to work like that. See, Romans 12:2 is a powerful scripture. You can't get around that scripture. I mean, the Holy Scripture says, renew your mind. Why you won't tell me to renew my mind? With the word of God, so that my soul can be acceptable to what the Lord is putting out. See, the Holy Spirit lead my spirit. But yeah, I see the hand. Go ahead. Everything is a choice.
Okay. So,
go ahead. Talk to me.
Well,
I'll be yawning or something.
Okay. If everything is a choice, why do some people make right decision and some make wrong decision? And you read the word of God, you're supposed to know what it's saying.
Yes.
So if it says don't do that, well then why would a person continue doing that?
Right, it's a good question, because their mind messed up and they got their mind renewed, so they can't make. See, a renewed mind has to do with making the right choices. It has to do with your will. So you hit a live vessel there, because why Christians just can't do right? They know what the Bible say, right? Well, it's because of untrained soul, and Satan trick them in their soul. He can't trick them in the spirit. See, your spirit is born again. You're alive to God. So why is Satan getting in it? Right there in their soul. That's what the answer to your question, my sister, is this. If that a person don't know the value of their soul, back to Matthew 16:26, what would a man give in exchange for his soul? What a profit man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Man don't know the value of his soul. The value of his soul is a choice and decision aspect of his life. And then so I'm glad she brought it up. I'm glad he brought it up. See, your choice is going to be different now. See, through your soul, Satan been making choices for you. And he dress them up to make you think you made it.
I was trying to, I know at bottom line we have to renew our mind, but that persecution and offenses, do that affect your soul and cause you to not receive from God?
You got it. Well, I'm gonna nail it now, girl. Yeah. Sit down. Right. Sit down. I'm gonna nail it. I'm gonna use a word, a killer. I'm gonna use a killer, because you don't understand yourself. I'm gonna use a killer word. Bitterment.
Right.
Becoming bitter. I've seen at least four people die out of bitterment.
Right.
I've watched them. I tried to change it, but I couldn't change it. That come through your soul.
Right.
Come on, Holy Spirit, help me with this now, because that's a lot to that question. She, resentment, envy, strife. When I dealt with my two daughters, the first thing I told them, I said, I don't want that in your soul. Because I know the enemy is trying to get them into strife. They're going to be in strife the rest of their life, fighting about something that don't make no sense. Just go ahead. Let's come together. Let's forgive each other and go on. So, yes, bitterness in the soul, anxiousness. That's why that scripture says in Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but enter everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding. Watch what you say there. Shall keep your heart and mind. That's part of your soul. See, so, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
See, our hearts are kept and our mind moving loosely.
Yeah.
Wow. Why? We have taught you the emphasis must be on your spirit, on your spirit, on your spirit, on your spirit. Renew your mind, on the spirit. Renew your mind every now and then, on the spirit. But no, they're both, you need to pay attention. So yes, to become bitter, let's go back to our class now. And we talk about soaking. That's new to the church, huh? Somebody asked what that means. I say saturated. A deep form of meditating. Just keep running the word over and over through your soul. Spirit don't need no help.
Right.
Keep running the word over and over through your soul. You're saturating, you're soaking it. Why? Because sin produces wounds.
Right.
And wounds come along with darkness.
Right.
When you soak it, you're getting Satan's landing plan out of your soul. His landing plan is when you sin, it produces that wound. You can rebuke him, plead the blood, pray all night long, but my legal right is you still got a wound in your soul,
right,
where I can produce this bitterment, this anxiety, this anger,
right,
this, all this stuff, unless you get it clean with the word of God.
Yes, right.
John 15:3 says we're clean with the word of God.
Right.
And there's a light. There's a light. That the light of God, the light of heaven, shines, the glory light of Christ shine in our heart, get rid of that darkness, and that dunamis power. We see that word power, that word means dunamis, and we're saying we need to accept the cross, we need to accept the resurrection also. See, we talk about the cross and the blood, and it's thank God for the blood, but then we have to accept the resurrection also. And so that dunamis power come in. And as we flood our soul, soaking our soul, thanking God for our soul, and we release this the power of the blood to take care of that sin, released the power, the dunamis power of the resurrection to remove that wound. And same thing, it produced that glory light that removed that darkness. Now our soul is up to par. And it's ready, for lack of a better word, to play the game of victory right. See, so what happening is, Satan been robbing us in that area where Christians don't like each other. Now, how are you going to walk in love? And you really just don't like that person. And so the love can't function because you got something else going on. But when your spirit, soul, and body, all right, what we're going to do with 1 Thessalonians 5:23? We're gonna do it first. Turn that. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. What are we gonna do with it? I ain't thinking about no time. I'm the chief engineer here. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Just come on here and sit down. You come to church here. What are we gonna do with this? Verse? The God of peace will sanctify you holy.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Huh?
Yes, sir.
How you gonna function with an unsanctified soul?
Right.
An unsubmitted soul. A sleeping soul.
Right.
A soul, as my sister can do, say, can do anything he want to do.
Hmm.
No, that's what he said.
Right.
Your whole spirit, soul, and body. Same thing, Romans 12:1-3. He's trying to get over to us that Satan is playing game with you. He's not powerful enough.
Right.
He's playing game with you and on you through your soul.
Right.
Once you renew your soul, once you recognize the value of your soul, then you'll be able to cooperate in your total man. You got your hand up? Sir, say it again? Yeah, train your soul. See, your feeling is, your emotion is in your soul. And when you renew your mind right, your feeling and your emotion come under the works of the Holy Spirit. You become a calm man. You become slow to speak, swift to hear, slow to anger, because you got that soul, that mind renewed. Now, you heard the boy say, the good man.
Yeah.
The boy comes to all the boy said, man, I drop a glass door. He said, and a word came out of me I thought it was gone. It wasn't gone, it's still up in there. He cussed, that's what he did. And we all have those potentials. And so, oh my goodness, marriages. Well, a lot of times we don't talk to each other right. With our soul not renewed, you're all judgmental, you're finding fault, and you got 19 pit bull in your bucket, but did I answer your question? Yeah, when you knew your soul, yeah, yes. Where you going? You don't know where you're going? I thought your brother was running over there. I ain't know what you...
So you're saying that regardless of how much we pray in the Holy Spirit, wrong pattern of thinking, behavior, habits, desires, and I'm connected and I feel the Spirit of God, but in my soul, those wrong desires, wrong pattern of thinking, how do I get rid of that? By soaking. You're saying by soaking.
Yes. Renewing your mind. First of all, the Holy Spirit is going to start showing you through dreams and through other what wounds you have in your soul. They're hiding now. I remember Ed Wiener had a brain tumor, and we went to see her. And I saw in the spirit that tumor hiding from us. Running, she had a hole in her cranial, and that tumor was, she's still a member of this church. That tumor was dancing in her head. And I said, all right, tumor, I break your power, I'll see you. And I told that cranial to close. It's one miracle I haven't emphasized. And you know, the next day I told her to go get checked. They couldn't find the hole or the tumor. So what you're saying is, this stuff is running around in you, in your soul. And if you don't correct it, it just said that. They don't let you know what's going on. Even though you didn't pray, even though you came to church, you took communion, you're able to do the right thing, you praise God, but it comes up when it want to come up. Yes, sir. I'm looking at you, son.
Sort of kind of on the lines of a question. How do you, even though you know you're forgiven, get it out your mind and stop letting the enemy play with you that still bringing that thing up? And you know God forgave you.
Yeah.
20 years, whatever done passed, and that thing still have you feeling like God don't love you, even though you know.
Yeah, I got you, man. You got you. Make my work easy. That's where the revelation of soaking come in. Take the word soaking. You know, I'm going to teach this morning, but let me take the word soaking. Let's go five. I think it's five. You repent. You ask the Lord to forgive you. You apply the blood. You're taking. And I'm going to give you two more words now. Stick with me now. You have to be focused in faith, because a lot of things are trying to get your attention, but you're going to have to focus and keep your eyes on Jesus. Hebrews 12 and 2, looking on Jesus. Let me try to give you this, because there's so much running through. I want you to have it simple. You know there's something there. You repent of it. Be sorry for it. Ask the Lord to forgive you. Take the blood of Jesus, which is the power of the cross, and say, I decree and I'm applying this into my soul. You're sitting there 15 minutes. You soak it. You let nothing else distract you. Then secondly, that take care of sin. Secondly now, you take the power of the resurrection, which is the dunamis power. Let me give you some understanding of this dunamis power. This dunamis power deal with infirmities of the soul, sickness of the soul, infirmities of the body, and sickness of the body, and also this dunamis power, which is Philippians 3:10. This dunamis power is the resurrection power of Jesus, and it removed that wound that had been sitting in your soul. All of us got plenty of wounds. Okay, so the Lord going to show us what they are. What I don't want you to do, and I'm going to finish telling you what I'm, but I don't want you to do is go around, this a wound, that's a wound. Don't start doing that. You're going to get confused. Just wait, and just apply. If you don't have nothing, just apply it to your soul until the Lord give you a vision, a dream, or say a word to show you. All right. You got the dunamis power. That's number one, two, three, four. Dunamis power. Then the glory light come too. The glory light of Christ come and it shine, because you got darkness been in there a long time because of that thing. That's why you can't get free of it. Then you got that wound in there. You can't get free of it, even though you didn't ask the Lord to forgive you. But Satan keep coming back to that wound. He keep coming back to your mindset and reminding you, you know you did that. You see, when you start doing this, son, he's not going to be able to do that. It's a done deal. Let me give it to you again. Everybody listening?
Yes, sir.
All right. It's the way your soul. All right. Let me go back. I declare and decree everybody in here going to start dreaming. Okay. Now, these dreams. So how many of y'all already been dreaming? You're dreaming your lifetime. All those dreams was for a reason. So in dreams, you can get wounds that are in your soul to be revealed to you. Once you find out what it is, then you can go to work. What wounds still in there? Because we plead the blood. So you got to act the sin out, but the wound stayed. And so you got to get the wound out of your soul. And that therefore you become free. Then everything now can flow together.
Right.
Who with me? Who lost? Who under the bus? Who got thrown under the bus? To understand. Now it's gonna take us a while. What about how long it took us for the baptism of the Holy Spirit? All right. So it took us a while, and so now God is actually placing three things on us real heavy: grace, faith, and the soul. Those three things coming in almost at once. But from my teaching this morning, you're going to see what an elevation or what a graduation it will be for you if you pay attention. See. You cannot be passive. This has to be activated. But just like he asked the question, stuff he done got over a long time, but it still come up. Who all have experienced that? Yeah, so So something got to be wrong.
Right.
God's not powerless.
Right.
Jesus not powerless. The Holy Spirit is not powerless. It's nothing really being taught against. It's adding on to what you already know. Go ahead. You better stand up. Been here all these years.
From what I gather right now, your flesh actually taking orders from your mind.
That's good.
If it's not renewed. And another thing about bringing up the past, an example is forgetting those things which are behind.
Mm-hmm.
God forgives you and he forgets.
Mm-hmm.
And we take our example from him. Well, we need to forget it too. Although Satan gonna bring it up.
Yes, yeah,
just gotta let him know that.
Yeah, what I'm talking about, your soul gonna remind your flesh. And Satan gonna remind you through your soul, and then they're gonna become a problem. But once you get your mind renewed properly, and get those wounds out, not just get the sin out, we gotta get the wound out. See, the wound lag behind. So let's go to John 14:30 now. Let's go to John 14:30, Amplified Bible. Go to John 14:30. I ride in my golf cart. I ride in my golf cart and listen to that tapes in my subdivision. It was cold, so I got a little deal. You drop the plastic on the side. So this one man who had tried to play a word game on me. And in answering, he's trying to tell me I did somebody wrong. A guy must have told him that. And he asked me about this guy, and he asked me, he said, have you ever heard his tape? I said, no. And I knew in my spirit, he was trying to tell me something. And I said, no, I never got on his tape. So I felt that he, in my spirit and in my soul, that he was trying to condemn me. But one of my neighbors, so I didn't say nothing. So the CD was sent to me for Christmas. So I saw him in his yard. And I hollered out to him off my golf cart. Two things happened. I said, I got that CD. It's real nice, man. Because I mean, I didn't have nothing against the person or nothing, but he acted as if, I don't know if he'd been talking that I did something or nothing. And then I saw a sad countenance on him. He says, I said, what's your problem? He said, I got cancer, man. He said, I got to take treatment for 8 weeks every day. I said, come here, you want me to pray for you? I said, he answered slow. I said, you want me to pray for you? He said, yes, I prayed with him. But just the idea, playing them little games.
Right.
You got to watch them little games.
Right.
So I go down further. There's another guy walking out. This guy here is plumb prejudiced. But that morning I was like, see, I said, is something wrong with your body? I said, don't let that dog get up here. But something wrong with your body, sir? He says, yeah, I got to get a kidney transplant and my back. I got to get a back operation. But other than that, I'm all right. I said, oh, other than that, you're all right? Watch what he's saying. Watch what he's saying. So I said, you know, something could be done about this, sir. I said, he said, I don't want to discuss religion with you. I said, okay. I said, but nothing impossible with God. He said, before he said, guess what he said? Listen carefully. We have nothing in common. The enemy was talking to me. He actually said those words. I said, what? I said to myself, what he said? He said, we have nothing in common. Then I said, well, God can do nothing impossible with God. He said, I agree with you on that. Walked on all. My point is, and I got to close here, I'm going to go ahead and let him sing. My point is, Jesus in 14:30 of the Amplified Bible, he says, I will not talk with you much more for the prince, the evil genius. See, he's a genius. He's a ruler if you don't know how to regulate him. Of the world is coming. And he has no claim on me. and he has no claim on me. But if you got something in your soul, he has a claim on you. You got to get it where he has no claim on you. Now, you know you're not going to be perfect, but when you're renewing your soul and soaking your soul, you're getting it out faster than it come in. He said he had no claim. He had nothing in common with me. That was the man. Said, you ain't got nothing in common with me. I said, well, I can't help you then. You have nothing in common with me. And I didn't understand that until I pulled off. I got around the block. I said, this man said I have nothing in common with him. He has nothing in common with me. There is nothing in me that belonged to him. And he had not yet already bought under. Now he has no power over me. Now he has no power over me. In other words, if he got something common with me, if he got something in me, he can't get it in my spirit. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He can't come up in here. 2 Peter 1, I partake of God's divine nature. John 1, 12, but as many as receive him, to them give he the power. I'm a son of God. But yet I got these two parts of me that need to be taken care of, my soul and my body. I cannot take care of my body with my body. Not from Satan. I have to take care of it with my soul. Now you can go around there and talk to your cousin, go to the church down the street about this, and you're going to get your tail whooped because they're going to come up with every traditional value they know. They're sick. They're broke. And they don't know whether they got a husband or not. He stay there. Because they ain't got it lined up. But yet they're going to tell you what a great God this is. The sickness in our body came from the sickness of our soul. So if we correct the sickness in our soul, guess what's going to happen? The sickness in the body got to leave. Why we got so many Christians sick? Why we got so many Christians sick? Why we got so many Christians broke? Broke. Living on a system. Living on the Babylonian system. Why? This shouldn't be. The Lord said, delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desire of your heart. Why are we not getting the desire of our heart? We delight ourselves in the Lord as much as we can. Well, I'm trying to show you how to be more delightful in the Lord. How to get, he came out of the street, I came out of the street. See, there's a lot of stuff people up in here have done. You don't want it to touch you now. Men and women. And we can't see Satan. I flush my soul and my soul so much with the word so many years, he couldn't bring nothing back up. I can't feel guilty about nothing I did. That word is constantly going through that, you see. But now I know everybody in here ain't gonna do much words as I'm doing. I'm doing words 8 hours a day or more, sometime all day. So the light kept going through that, you see. That what kept me out of the intensity of my past. She said, forget the thing behind. You're not going to automatically forget it. You need spiritual help to forget it. Amen. We're having a Sunday school class that I called all at once because we're making this divine shift. Now, I'm going to show you some strong things this morning in this service that will help you along. Yes, son. You're welcome. That will help you along that line. There's a lot of people like this young man here. He give his life to Christ. He want to love his wife and do things in the church. Right, I put a woman out last week. I sent a committee to her twice, and she didn't do what I told her to do. So when it come to me, it's not no discussion. I said, don't you come back to this church. Now, I may be merciful on her because the Spirit of God, I might call her and say, now, if you can come here and shut up and just listen, I'll let you come back. But I'm not going to have you approaching people with some kind of sitcom or something like that. All this, I ain't got no time for this mess up in the church. These people come here to hear God. You catch them at the supermarket, then they can deal with you themselves. But up in here, we come here for we ain't come here to sell no boycott cookies out on the lot I ain't come to buy no cookies. Get on out of my face. No, I can't have that here because they're trying to do that to the God's house. I'm not going to let it happen. She the third one I done put out, the fourth one I put out. I put out some other past years. I put them out. Don't come back here no more. Had the old begging spirit all in the bathroom. Somebody, can you lend me $20? And now they only hit one point, they hit four or five people. So I tell them about it, I warn them about it. They say no. And you know, I had a lesbian here. She was in the choir. She bothered one of my ladies. The lady said, well, I don't know what she wants. We'll go out to dinner and all that. People rubbing on me. I call her in my office. I said, now listen, baby, if you're a lesbian, I said, I love you and I'm going to get it out of you, but you ain't going to have no affairs up in here. She says, I'll call my lawyer. I said, I got enough money, we can go to court. I said, we're not going to have this here. Now, they can cross the bathroom all they want with laws. Ain't no man going in the woman's bathroom here.
Right.
Just put me in jail. You getting your tail out of here.
Right.
I got enough men in here to stand up for that.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Yes, sir.
I follow the law up to a certain degree, but when it get to violating God's word, I got somebody behind me stronger than the law.
Yeah.
I help people. People come here. They can have hang up. They can have problem. You know, I can see the little gals or the little mannish, a woman acting like a man. That's all right. I let them stay in here a while, but they're finally gonna have to add it up. Because they see they're doing this all over the world now. They're just accepting everything now. Black president or not, Obama is wrong. When he talked about in his address, he said it again, let people marry whom they love. See, I'm not going to let my walk with God go out with blackness. That violates the Bible.
Right.
Amen. Black men marry who they love. If they love a man, it's wrong.
Right.
Woman love a woman, it's wrong.
Right.
How I got over here, John? See, so now I'm not with him on that. And then he didn't have to do that because he don't have to run no more. He did that during the season, he don't have to run no more. And, well, I mean, what? Why? He a Christian, isn't he? I ain't marrying you. I don't care what kind of law they pass. I ain't marrying you. I'll preach to y'all from jail. I ain't marrying them. No, he said, right. That's right. That's a soul problem.
Yes, that's it.
They got Christians think they love another Christian. Mm-hmm. Wrong. It's a soul problem. So we'll straighten this out. All right, my praise. Y'all ought to be up there now. Y'all need to start singing. Y'all ready? Sing.